بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدت obey someone and execute his commands, fulfill his decisions, then we need to know the person, how great he is, what he is, what is his position. When we understand him, then it becomes natural for us to obey him. We understand the person. But if you don't understand the person, then you don't find it natural to obey him. An ordinary police officer is guiding traffic. One hand is showing move, so those motorists are all moving. One hand is showing stop, and all those motorists are stopping. Nobody dares to defy him. They won't just defy him, ignore him, because they know the power that he comes with. He's a man like you, but he's got the power of the entire government behind him. He's got the power of all the hukumat behind him, so you understand the power that he's got. So hence, we need to understand who Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. Sometimes we read the stories of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Kiram, and we just pass it off as a story. Little do we take out the time to understand the personality, who is this person that is being discussed, what is the power, what is his majesty, his greatness, his virtue, his significance. So Allah Ta'ala says about him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah Ta'ala and His Malaika, they both send salawat and durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, nowhere in the Quran Sharif you will find that any person specifically is spoken to in this manner. It may be a general address, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. But specific, then this is exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Allah also does it, and the Malaik also do the same. What they do, they send the special salawat. Now what is salawat? Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he says, salawat means dular. What is dular? Dular is special love. Special love you show. Like the mother, so just one child, then what love she shows? Is it ordinary love or some exclusive, different type of a love? So that special love. According to age, according to circumstance, the type of love will change. But we know the type of exclusive love the mother shows to the child, especially when it's small. How she will hold him, she will cuddle him, she will be proud about the child. So Allah Ta'ala shows a special love from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from all his creation. Understand? And then this salawat, Allah Ta'ala sends salawat, the malaika sends salawat, then mankind sends salawat. Attribution is towards three people, three classes. And in each case it is different. If it is attributed to Allah Ta'ala, it will be different. If it is attributed to the Malaika, it will be different. Attributed to the people, it will be different. Overall, when we listen to the name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then reciting Durood Sharif is a duty. For the first time, it's obligatory. Thereafter, some say it's obligatory, some say it's optional. Whatever the case may be, but now look at the significance and the darja of Nabi Sallam, that when you hear his name and you don't read Durood, then you are a problem, you are a criminal. You must read Durood Sharif. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. We need to understand that man has got two elements in him, two elements that are working towards his destruction. One element is just taking him towards temptation, tempted to do this, inclines towards this. So there's one element that's working within you, and that element is called khayshat, shahwat, or temptation. Listen to this, look towards this, talk about this, eat this, go here, have this. So no human being can say that he doesn't have temptation. All have temptation. And the other element that is in every human being is the element of anger, to hurt, destroy, to revenge, to avenge, to push someone down, to spite him, to give him a mouthful. So every human being has this. One element that is taking you towards temptation, and the other element is about hurt, destroy, show anger, push the person down, run him down, show him a point, fix him up. So these two elements is in every human being. We've been created like this. Temptation and anger. Created with anger and temptation. Nobody can say that he doesn't have it. Something doesn't happen your way, you want to show your authority, you want to show your anger. Put this person in his place. Fix him up. Now, this month of Ramadan has come in, and the month of Ramadan has come in to teach us how to discipline these two elements, this beast that's within us, that is the characteristic of every animal. Every animal has temptation, and every animal has this beastly quality of anger. Destroy, break, it's got it, right? You can't show an animal that doesn't have temptation, doesn't have this anger. Now, the kamal, the achievement is that you need to surpass that animal. Don't live within the parameter of an animal, go beyond the animal. If you're going to live within the parameter of an animal, that will be reduced. Sum radadnahu asfala safilin. Allah Pak says he has created you and given you that opportunity that you can escalate to the highest of the high. But then if you don't, then you can be lowered to the lowest of the low. Lowest of the low. See? And how you are reduced? You're reduced to the lowest of the low because of these two elements. Either temptation let you down, or either, if it's not temptation, then it's anger that you die. So to say that you must delete this thing from your whole nature, that's wrong. You can't delete temptation. You can't delete anger completely. Yeah? If there's no temptation, then will there be a need to marry? Yeah? No need to marry. Yeah? Will there be a need to eat something that is something that is comfortable? No temptation about. So you need the temptation, and you need a little bit of anger as well. Why you need anger? That you can defend yourself, defend your property. You got no anger. Someone comes into your house, alright, you're right. Picks up your daughter and runs away, alright. You got no anger within you. So you need to have a level of anger and a level of temptation. So without temptation, without anger, the world goes off. Right? But an overload of temptation, an overload of anger, the world goes hectic again. Both. Now here to bring it to that moderation, to that balance. Not just do what you want, not just say what you want. Bring it to a level of moderation. So now that person then, he escalates. He goes higher than the malaika. Imagine the highest creation was malaika. And now when you have worked on these two, then you went higher than the malaika. So this whole Ramadan is for this exercise to learn how to control these two things, temptation and anger, manage these things. This beastly thing is within you. You're not going to control it. This is the end. You're going to control it. This is what you will get. So Allah Pak says, now you suppress it. Suppress your temptations for this month. And as though for you to help you to suppress this, he's given you a formula, and that formula is like 30 injections. One injection for every day. This is the injection for today, tomorrow, third day, fourth day. So this 30-day injection, if you do it properly, correctly, then it will teach you some discipline. It will bring you onto track. Then you must learn this thing here. How this injection must be administered. If you learn it, then the whole year goes right. But if you didn't learn how to administer these injections, you're doing it in your own style, then you won't get the desired effect afterwards. Right? The doctor says, all right, you see, I'm giving you a diet plan, you got sugar. And for 4 months, this is what you need to do. So much of sugar, so much of protein, so much of carbs you must eat. So this is the plan, this is the medication. Inshallah, in 4 months, you'll be right. Now, you took the diet plan and you took the medication, but you only taking the medication and you're not following the diet plan. You're eating slabs and slabs of chocolate, pushing so much of Coke. He said, no, doctor, but you know that medication you gave, I took all the medication. I see no difference in my sugar. So will it work for him? It won't work for him. He didn't follow the plan. So this Ramadan will work for you. Understand what is the plan of Ramadan. Then it will work for you. The whole year will go very well for you. See? So you see the main two enemies in your life is these two. Temptation and anger. Desire and anger. That's the two things. However you analyze, it's temptation. Right? However you analyze it, it is anger. You got one car, let's get another car. One business, another business. One holiday, another holiday. One type of investment, another type of investment. Don't these things go around your mind all the time? So it'll go all the time. Your mind is, that investment must get it. That one there must get it. What about that one? You know, I'll make a killing on that one. So the mind goes around temptation all the time. Or it goes against anger. So this is in simple words, and in the terminology of the Quran and Hadith, you call these two elements, nafs and shaitan. Same things. As though these two things were like twins, nafs and shaitan, all out there to destroy you, fix you up, push you down. They want to distract you, move you out. So you will have these two enemies throughout your life. They don't want you to go to Jannat. They don't want you to reach up to Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan doesn't want you to reach Allah Ta'ala. I went off, you must go off. And Allah Pak says, come towards me, I will sort you out. So in this world, this clash is going to carry on. You can't say there's a human being and he doesn't have a clash within himself. It is only for the Anbiya. Anbiya, they are free. They are absolutely pure. Besides Anbiya, everybody has to go through this. So, as though this Ramadan is a formula. Formula with 30 injections. But with the prescription that comes with Ramadan. So what's the prescription? Like I said, you know, the medication plus the diet plan. So same, the roza was like the medication plus the diet plan. What is the diet plan? So, the one plan, or one point in this plan is unzila fihi al-Qur'an. Right? That every Nabi received a revelation in this month year. And the wahi was revealed after he had fasted and after he had devoted himself, secluded and devoted himself. Musa alayhi salam, 40 days he had to fast, to devote himself in ibadat, then the wahi came. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to devote himself in Ghar Hira, cave of Hira, and fast during the day. And after that 1 month or whatever period, then the wahi came down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now you understand that this month has got a strong relationship with the revelation of the Quran Sharif. So now, how does the revelation of the Quran Sharif connect to the fasting? How does the revelation of the Quran Sharif connect to the fasting, to the roza? So I explained that roza was to suppress, to discipline, to bring yourself down, right? So as though Allah Pak is saying, you see, in this 11 months, you did what you wanted. You went by the dictates of your own mind, of your nafs. Nafs took you, dictated to you, commanded you, so you went with that. You saw the good in that. Holiday in Cape Town, hey, what a holiday, what a holiday. That money that you'll get here, hey. So you followed the dictate of your mind. That car, hey, Formula A car. See how it moves, see the mags, see the speed. So, for these 11 months, you followed all your temptation. Right? So your mind read to you the temptation and you executed. So Allah says, now shut this off and listen to what I want. 11 months you did what you want. Now, listen to what I want. What I want is the Quran Sharif. So, when you shut all this thing up now, you're listening, looking at the Quran Sharif. Allah Pak wants this. He wants this. He wants me not to do this, and He wants me to do this. Wants me to do this, and wants me not to do this. Understand that the Quran is not a book to appease yourself and to justify your wrong. But not a book to appease yourself and justify your wrong. See now what we're doing with the Deen and Quran is to justify, somehow to justify. So you ask a Muslim hostess, but hey, you know what? You can't be traveling with a mahram. You can't be traveling without a mahram. You need a mahram. When you're traveling without a mahram, it's not permissible for you to travel without a mahram. So now look, see, one is now to see what Allah Pak wants, and one is to go to justify. So now, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah says, Imam Malik says, that you can travel with a group of reliable women, Amina women, women that are reliable. So Imam Shafi, Imam Malik is saying, you can travel with a group of women that are reliable. See that? Understand? See how this woman is talking? Who? This hostess. Muslim hostess. How she's talking, right? Then you said, all right, if you say that there is some grounds for that, some basis for that. But then, when you are attending to all those passengers, then your face is open, you know? Face is open. Bilkul khula hua hai, chehra khula hua hai, face is open. So no, Imam Abu Hanifa said it's permissible for your face to be open when you don't have any fitna, no fear of fitna. So you see, now, look at this person here. Is he doing what Allah Pak wants or what he wants? It's either Allah Pak, what he wants, or it's either what you want. See, one of the two. So Allah Pak is saying, shut down all those desires, those temptation, and see what I want. For you to be able to see what I want, you need to have your desires, your temptations under control. Then you'll be able to see what I want. And if you don't have the desire under control, the desire is running you. Tokan is running your life. running your life, right, and you read the Quran Sharif, what will happen? You'll use the Quran Sharif for the wrong reasons, for the wrong ends. Why do you say that? You'll use the same Quran, but for the wrong ends. Why? Because shahwat and ghazab, temptation and anger, was ruling your life. When that was ruling your life, right, so you found a justification in anything that you were doing. You use the Quran Sharif to justify. That justification thing, that it's all right if it's used in law, you know, legal purposes. It's something uplang, all right, you've got to find a legal loophole and you went through, it's all right. But with Allah, you can't play games. With the law, you can play games. It's all right, no problem. No guna for that. Right? So playing games with the law is all right. Took out one clause here, one clause that side, made it permissible, made it right, packed it up, packaged it up, and it went through. It's all right. But with Allah Ta'ala, you can't play games with Allah Ta'ala. See this hostess now, when she's traveling without a mahram, she's saying, oh, well, so many reliable women here on the flight, so they are all my company. Face is open, or Imam Hanifa says permissible. So what is she looking for? Looking for what Allah Ta'ala wants, or what? Looking for what she wants. See, one is what she wants, what is what Allah Pak wants. So that is why Allah Pak says, control, discipline all your temptations, your anger, and then with a clear mind, listen to what I want. Now you will understand what Allah Pak wants. And then when you understand Allah Ta'ala, understand His favors, then you will begin to bond, you will begin to love Allah Ta'ala. All right, Allah Ta'ala wants this for us. So this is for my own good. If I listen to my anger will take me to destruction, it will take me to my own peril. I became angry, I hit someone. Right? Then I'm sitting in jail after that. Allah Ta'ala prohibit. So anger will take me to my own destruction. I'm listening to my temptation, I'm eating whatever I want. Now I've got health problems. Allah Pak forbid, right? So if it is not disciplined, then you'll have problems. So now discipline yourself. Okay. So the first thing is, now you will not eat, right? The second thing, that was 30 injections. Now there's a disciplinary plan. So the first thing is what you'll do, Quran Sharif. So in the nights you read Quran Sharif, in the day you read Quran Sharif. How wonderful it would have been if people spoke to their bosses, it's only for 1 month, let us come earlier to the masjid, 15, 20 minutes before the time. At least we'll sit earlier, sit longer in the masjid and read some Quran Sharif. So we know what Allah Pak wants. He wants namaz, he wants zakat, he wants us to remember him, not to speak lies, not to be dishonest, not to be fraudulent, not to be interesting. So this is what Allah Pak wants from us. Right. So now we're listening with a clean mind, with a clean slate. Allah Pak is like just writing it onto the slates of our heart. Because our hearts are clean, when the hearts are clean, then He's just imprinting it onto the heart straight. See? So this is the one thing, right? Quran Sharif. Unzila fihi al-Quran, hudal linnas, ubayyinatin min al-hudaw. Now you're reading it, you're trying to understand what Allah Pak wants. If you can't understand, then at least do some kitab reading. The kitab reading is about the Quran Sharif. It's a message of Allah Ta'ala. Kitab reading is what? It's a message of Allah Ta'ala. And it's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So then you think, all right, that's what he wants. So for you to be able to take on the message of Allah Ta'ala, the mind must be right. If the mind is not right and you're trying to take the message of Allah Ta'ala, then you'll distort the word of Allah Ta'ala, because your mind wasn't right. You'll distort. Why will you distort? Because your mind is not right. So one is the Quran Sharif. The second thing that Allah Pak wants you to do in this month here now, see, one is the Quran Sharif, is to read a lot of La ilaha illallah and istighfar. Now, why la ilaha illallah and istighfar? Why? Because if that la ilaha illallah goes right in you, then everything will go right. See? Just the essence of la ilaha illallah is Allah Ta'ala does. It happened, then it happened with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Didn't happen with the will of Allah Ta'ala. Are you learning to conform to the will of Allah Ta'ala? You made a killing in the business, it was the will of Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah. But it didn't happen, Allah Ta'ala didn't will it. You know, I think car got smashed, this thing happened, whatever. So, you're not too excited when you got the Prophet and the return, and you're not too depressed when you lost out. When you won, you're not too excited. When you lost, you're too depressed. Kaila ta'asaw ala ma fatum. But that, for that to happen, then you read that la ilaha illallah with that frame of mind. Two people are sitting at the airport lounge, right, waiting for the flight. So, just then there was an announcement that there's a 2 or 3 hour delay. So, non-Muslim, is frustrating. Huh? It's frustrating, it's very F to this, why? I got that meeting to attend, I need to go to that conference, everything, my whole schedule is all mixed up, messed up. What's wrong with these people? They got no system in them. So, he is frustrated. With all the frustration, we can't get deal. We can't take a plane, though. No? Can't put him on a plane, and shuttle him. They can't do it. He can't do it, and they can't do it. Right? And there's a mu'min, there's a Muslim who's reading La ilaha illallah. So when the announcement came that the plane is delayed for 3 hours, so very calmly he said, alhamdulillah, you know, I had some Quran Sharif to read this morning. I couldn't make it. Now I'm so peaceful. 3 hours they told me, you know, you're parking here. 3 hours I'll just read the Quran. So nicely, comfortably, no disturbance, no distraction. See, Laila, this is what I do. Laila ta'asaw ala ma fatakum wa la tafrahu. Came, alhamdulillah. Didn't come, alhamdulillah. Allah Pak made it happen, Allah Pak did not want it to happen. But that's what Laila will do. He makes it happen. And the second thing that Allah Pak wants, that istighfar. See, on the day of Qiyamah, so everybody is lined up to get his actions, to get his deeds all scaled. You all line up, like how at the airport you line up at the immigration to present your passport. So you line up to get your deeds all weighed. Small, big. Wajadu ma amilu hadira. Everything is there. Everything. Small, big, everything is there. Now the one man comes up, he's got 99 registers of wrongs. The register, pages of the register are as far as his eyes can see. Hey, this day you looked at this girl here. That day you were flirting. That day you were looking at all the porn, right? Full. 99 registers, as far as the eyes can see. All the wrong is contained. Right? So Allah Ta'ala will say, was there any injustice done to you? So no. Did the malaika record anything in this that you didn't do? No. So everything is right, accurate. All right. The third thing, alaka udrun. You know, you did this. Was it because of circumstance that you did this? You robbed that person, you cheated, you hit that person down. So, you did it because of some circumstance. Say, no, no circumstance. So, you got no excuse. The malaika didn't ill-treat you. Nobody spoke a lie. Now, the man is sure, hey, I had it now. The Qiyamah, if you had it there, there's no reverse. Yeah, you still get a chance. Failed in the fifth year, Khamisa, you can still repeat it, right? Supplementary exam you can do, or things you can do, come right. And you went, you were hit down there on the day of Qiyamah then, Any second chance?
No second chance.
One chance, last chance. Life is just one chance. So now when he's in that bewilderment, from somewhere, a small piece of paper comes in. And he's thinking to himself, by that piece of paper, what's going to do? Of what good? That one piece of paper just falls onto his right deeds. On the scale of the right deeds, one paper can. And to his surprise, that thing outweighs everything. That one paper, and so weighty, it overwhelms everything. So now when he sees that paper, that's the paper of La ilaha illallah, a small paper. But perhaps he may have read that La ilaha illallah with that frame of mind, that sincerity, with that heart and love, you know, that Allah Pak is a doer. He did for me and he will do. Right? With that frame of mind. So that was weightier than all the wrong. So I told my one friend, you got no excuse to say that I don't have the time to make tasbih and zikr. One is you need to take the time out. For everything else you can take time. To talk nonsense you got time. To look at nonsensical news media you got time. To look at a sport event you got time. To eat, relax and eat you got time. But only to make zikr you'll have the time. Alright. One is to actually take out the time. And one is within your work to do that, to make zikr, right? So I spoke to one brother from Marisburg, you know. So you don't have any excuse. Going to work, returning. Going to masjid, returning. Tell the people that are with you in the car, don't get it wrong. I'm not upset with anybody, but it's just my routine that when I'm going to the masjid or returning home, then I make zikr. So he met me 2 years later. He said, well, from that day till now, every day, without fail, I read La ilaha illallah 1,000 times. I said, how you manage that? I can't manage it. How you manage it? He says, no, you know, you told me that time. So I make it clear to my friends, my family, said, I'm not going to talk to you all, so don't get upset. It's just because I'm following this routine. So to the masjid 100 times, back home 100 times. Now the thing is now that how that Laila, it escalated, it went heavier. So when you try to do the Laila, La ilaha illallah rightly, you know, with the frame of mind, Allah Pak does, he did. So one La ilaha is going to hit the mark. You know, you're practicing archery all the time, one is going to hit the mark. All can't go wrong. So for the million that you read, one hit the mark. And then your scale just went up. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِي just went up. See, you know, the person in the hospital, right, just go up. Yeah? Numbers just go up. Don't you see all these things? So if it can happen here, won't it happen there? It'll just be flashing. We heard about Parakon passed away this morning. Allah will give a jannat. So the relatives came and asked the nurses, that whole ward is filled with this fragrance of musk. Did you all apply musk? They're asking the nurse. No, nothing. So now she got gender, she got Friday. Then the whole ward is filled with musk. See? So there must have been some good. She must have hit that. She must have got something. And it just struck. See? So you don't know which La ilaha illallah will just strike. Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. One will just hit the mark. Like I say, it's one chance and no repetition. So in one chance you did it, you tried. From that billion chances, one chance, one must have worked out right. So something must have worked out for that girl, for the woman. We don't know, she was a very great awliya or something. But something of hers must have just caught the attention of Allah Ta'ala and the way it stuck. So the nurses are surprised. Family surprised, but how this whole ward is filled with the fragrance of musk? They worried about it. So you see these chances that you get. Coming to the masjid, going, make a routine, tell the people, that's what we'll do. Nobody will stop you, inshallah. But the second thing that the hadith says, that person who's got a lot of istighfar in his registers, you know, his books of deeds, he's got, طوبى لمن كان له استغفار كثير في صحيفته. Lot of istighfar in his script. Istighfar. But just that in the istighfar, it mustn't be done just as a routine, with some sense of remorse. Like, hey, listen to the wrong thing, man. I shouldn't have attended that ghibat. You know, about that gossip I heard, the music I heard. So don't defend yourself. Just accept it. Don't come to your defense, whether it's your business. Hey, but you know, I made that money, went a little bit to interest. Hey, but I caused it. I don't have the heart to dump it completely. Now don't defend yourself and don't justify. It's wrong. I admit I'm extremely remorseful for the wrong that I've done. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So I am remorseful. I don't want to justify. I don't want to defend the wrong. As though I'm challenging Allah. You say it's wrong. I'm saying it's right. So don't go on that route. You plead your guilt. You're guilty, you're trying to rectify, you're remorseful. Allah Pak likes that. Who knows, because of your remorse, Allah Pak made us forgive. So the second thing that Allah Pak wants is a lot of istighfar. So now, Allah Pak, 21st century, you know, you must understand now, you have to do all these haram things, otherwise how are you going to live? So you're going to go on your defense, you're going to hurt yourself. So now, Allah Pak, I could have done it. A lot of people are living without all these haram. I could have also done it. But it was my laziness, I was caught up in nafs, so I asked for forgiveness. I'm remorseful, I'm regretful. So now you don't know which istighfar must be, it must just take the attention of another. Allah liked it. Hey, see this person here. He made istighfar, so much of remorse, he's crying a little bit. Right. So he may just like that one istighfar of yours, and your whole book will be just sorted out. Just one. That poet says, "Ke man na guftam, man na guftam, ke amal paziri." I'm not asking you, Allah, accept me. I'm asking you, "Ke kalam of Allah, just pass the pen of forgiveness upon me. Just pass your, because my deeds are not such." It's worthy of your acceptance. But yes, I can request for this, that at least pass your pen of forgiveness against all me, for all what I've done. So now, when you took out this time, coming to the masjid, going home, going to your friends, etc., right, your time is still going to pass, but with a little bit of istighfar, consciousness, awareness, and you don't know which istighfar will just work out for you. So don't hesitate. Don't delay, don't postpone. Do it. Walking just home is just 50 steps. At 50 steps, you can make 50 istighfar. You're going to buy some bread. It's about a kilometer. It'll take you 3 minutes to go, 3 minutes. You can do 100 or two, or more than 100 istighfar. Do it. But do it with a remorse. Now, you don't know which istighfar of yours will just get the attention of Allah, everything of yours will be sorted out. So one is the Quran Sharif that is supposed to be recited. And one is La ilaha illallah. And the third is istighfar. Right? So now when you got this, when you understood what Allah wants, then وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Then inshallah, you will be grateful. Okay, that you understood what Allah Pak wants, so you tried, and you got things working, then won't you be grateful? Allah Pak showed you how to do this. So won't you be grateful? You'll be grateful. So the greatest weapon against shaitan is to show gratitude to Allah Ta'ala at every moment. La tajidu aktharahum shakiri. Any given moment, you're thankful to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak, I'm happy with you. I'm pleased with you. I got no complaint. I got no complaint. I'm very happy with you, very pleased with you. You got guests in your home, and they always complain, hey, this is not right, then you feel happy. And they say, hey, they got a bright face, hey, we're so happy. The way you spoiled us, what you did for us, we're so happy with you. So in this life here, we are guests, Allah Bakh's guests. It's a mehman khana of Allah Ta'ala, guest room. And we're showing happiness for everything that is given. So how much Allah Bakh will be pleased? Wala'allakum tashkuroon. Allah Bakh, dofi nasib kareem.